Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day and call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk.
Welcome back to hour two of the show. Wrapped up our basketball discussion. If anyone wants to call in, I would say, considering the logistics of what's about to happen, I would say wait a little bit. Because Sean's got something to do right after we get to Tongue Dark Chris. So if you just want to hear a phone ring, you can call in. But I would say wait for a couple of minutes if you do want to call in, 713-780-3776. But first, we're going to get to Tongue Dart. He wants to talk Astros. At least he says he does. What's up, Tongue Dart?
Hey, what's up, Del? Actually, I got two things. So the first one is kind of pop culture and in your wheelhouse. So Dance Gavin Dance kicks out Tillian, and since life is a circle, do you think they'll bring back Johnny Craig?
One problematic figure for another is what you're asking about?
Yes.
I don't know where Johnny Craig is as far as his state of mind and maybe some alleged substances. I don't know. That one's tough. Yeah, Tillian's had his issues over the last couple of years. You know, he's got a solo career he wants to do as well. If you don't know who Gavin Dance is, they're a band from Sacramento that I love. I guess you'd put them at the top of my list of bands to go watch live. I've seen them live a couple times. They're here in Houston. I think maybe August of last year, so maybe around there. I don't know, man. They've had multiple lead singers, and you mentioned Johnny Craig. That one would be interesting. Will they go back? Will they go? He might be even number two. Was he even number one? I'm gonna say they are gonna want to stay away. They've had him come on tour a couple times when guys have been sick, or just to do like a reunion thing where all of their lead singers showed up for a show. Gonna say they're gonna stay away from Johnny Craig. I think they'll try to find – his voice is great, particularly for that era of their stuff, but I don't think so. I think they may want to find a guy who's a little easier to deal with. What's your other thing?
So with the other thing, I mean, Jose Abreu, he's not Japanese, so he can't commit seppuku or whatever, since he brought a lot of dishonor. But do you think – If nothing gets better for him and he gets really depressed, that he would participate in his own version of BME Pain Olympics?
I'm going to have to look that up. He always brings something to Zabel that we have to look up. If you guys know what he's talking about, don't call it now because Sean's got to do a recording. I will look up what that means and see if I can even talk about it as I look up the images. Thanks for the call. Yeah, I'm looking at it right now. I'm going to say no. And I appreciate the Dance, having Dance call. I don't think anyone's ever called about that band before, even though I'm a fan. I'm going to say don't ever call me about BME Pain Olympics anymore. It's awful. Even just the images are awful. And I'm not going to click on the videos. I'm trying to keep my peace here. We can talk about other things, not that. So thanks for the call, Tongue Dark Chris. A couple of things to get to. While Sean has stepped out, Jared Goff, he gets a big extension. And it's been a credit to Jared Goff because people kind of had buried him. Even last year when the Lions were turning it – not last year at this point. In the 2022 season when the Lions were turning it around late, and if you don't remember, in a game that the Packers had to win to make the playoffs, the Lions went into Green Bay and won that game, and that was – Aaron Rodgers' last appearance as a Green Bay Packer, last game as a Green Bay Packer. So the Jared Goff turnaround has been going on for a little bit now. But even after last year, the discussion was, what are the Lions going to do at quarterback? They drafted Hendon Hooker, but all the talk was the Lions need an upgrade. Are the Lions going to upgrade? Can they possibly decide Jared Goff is their long-term answer? And the decision has been made. Yes, the answer is yes. They think Jared Goff's their long-term answer. And he signs a four-year, $212 million extension. Makes him the highest-paid player in their franchise history, which doesn't mean that much only because salaries go up and up and up. So someone had to be. It just so happened that he plays a position that gets a lot of money. So Jared Goff gets that. And the Lions are giving everyone money. They gave Penei Sewell a big deal. They gave Amon Ross St. Brown a big deal. So they are looking and interested in locking up their foundational pieces. The question was, what was Jared Goff considered that? And after, I would say, a season and a half, because, you know, early in season one, or at least early in the 2022 season, the Lions were floundering and finding their way. I don't think anyone was looking to give Jared Goff a lot of money in 2022. But since that point, they've been good. Their offense has been really good, and they were a couple of self-inflicted wounds away from making it to a Super Bowl. So you gotta credit that guy for at first being buried, a throw-in in the Matthew Stafford trade. Matthew Stafford goes and wins the Super Bowl, and everyone's saying, look, that's just the Lions. Stafford got away from them, and look what he did. And now the Rams are okay. They'll be, as long as Stafford's healthy, they'll be fine. They made the playoffs last year. But the Lions are in a much better position. And Jared Goff, where would you rank the Lions right now, Sean? Are they the second favorite in the? Would you rank them behind the Eagles in the NFC, or do you have them as their second favorite behind the 49ers?
I think you kind of have to put them as the second favorite because none of the other NFC teams really, I feel like, did much to improve, I guess, the Eagles, but they're already worse than the Lions pretty comfortably. I mean, we saw how their season ended. I think they finished like 1-6 or something and then got torched off the field by the Bucks in the Monday night wild card game, where it was like, you see NBA teams quit. You don't really see football teams that look like they quit, and it looked like the Eagles kind of quit.
Every Eagle fan who talked about that game leading up was like, oh, we're getting our ass kicked.
And
by the way, this was an Eagles team who handled the Bucks earlier in the year in that same venue on Monday night. Mm-hmm. They smacked the Bucks around. Earlier in the year when they were going good. It led to them getting rid of their offensive coordinator and their defensive coordinator, so they have two new coordinators there. Nick Sirianni keeps his job. We'll see if the changes matter. They went and got accomplished guys. I believe Kellen Moore is the OC in Philly, and Vic Fangio is the DC there. So they went and got high-priced guys that kind of flipped this around. And, you know, the problem for Nick Sirianni is, and it's weird to say this because if he struggles, he's got two guys on the payroll under him who would be considered for that job. But wait a minute, if he's struggling, that means the team's struggling. Why would you hire one of those guys if the team is not good? But Kellen Moore has been up for NFL jobs, head coaching jobs. He would be a potential replacement if they decide to move on from Sirianni. And Fangio's a little older, but he would probably take that job too. So I think I agree with you. I would have the Lions at two until the Eagles prove that they're the 2022 Eagles and the first half of 2023 Eagles.
Yeah, it's just like a process of elimination where you look at all the other divisions. Like, there's no one from the South that you feel like is better than the Lions. There's the East, it's the Eagles and the Cowboys. I don't think either of them are better than the Lions. You look at their own division. If you think that the Lions are the best team of their division, you can't say that, oh, maybe the Packers. It's like, maybe, but I want to see it for another year too. Because the thing with Detroit's, we've seen it. We've seen it already with this core, and they didn't really. I mean, they reshuffled the wide receivers a little bit, and they've at least addressed the need at cornerback. I don't know if they can really not improve there just by getting anyone different out there. So then you look at the Niners, and you put the Niners aside. Do you love the Seattle? Do you love the Seahawks or the Rams? That's really the only other teams that I feel like have an issue. And I realized I don't think I've named seven teams in the NFC, and seven of them will have to go to the playoffs. So I don't really know how it sorts out. obviously some teams are going to improve, some teams are going to make a step up, but calling it right now in May, it's very hard to do.
Yeah, you've got the four, Cowboys, Eagles, Lions, 49ers, and then the other three are like, I don't know.
Yeah, it's like,
could be anyone.
Maybe the Rams, maybe the Seahawks.
Yeah.
Someone from the South has to.
And maybe the Packers with Jordan Love takes another step, yeah, and they're competitive for that division.
Maybe, I mean, I don't think so, but maybe the Bears. Like, we don't know.
Yeah, they'll have a lot of talent offensively, and if they get the quarterback play, some other teams have gotten from the young quarterbacks in the last couple seasons, yeah, possibly.
I was going to say, like, we saw it here.
Yeah.
If Caleb can be close to as good as C.J. Stroud is, like,
and going,
I don't know, they can go 9-8, get a wild card.
Yeah, and going into the season, we saw what happened once the Texans receivers started playing, but the reputation of the Bears receivers far exceeds what the Texans' reputation was as far as their wide receiver core was going in. Keenan Allen, Moore, and others, you like, okay, you and Roma Dunze, you like, yeah, that rotation. You like that that wide receiver depth more than you did the Texans, at least before the year started.
And honestly, they compare pretty well to the current Texans receiving core.
What we know about them right now.
What we know about them, and adding Stephon Diggs. It's like, yeah, you know, Allen's kind of up there, but.
And Cole Kmet as tight end.
Yeah,
Kmet. Add him to the list.
Yeah, and so you look at, like, yeah, Diggs, Tank, and Nico versus Allen, Moore, and Adunze. That's not that far off. You're not talking about vastly different types of wide receiver, vastly different skill sets at wide receiver. So, yeah, I mean, if that's why I can't not say the Bears won't make it, but I also am not going to sit here and say the Bears will definitely make the playoffs. Yeah, they have a chance, but again, like I was saying with the Lions and the Packers, I've seen the Lions do it. I haven't really seen the Packers do it.
Oh, they did. They did go into Dallas and win a playoff game. So we
congrats.
Know that. Well, a lot of people do that, I guess. But we know they have that capability that they can go on the road and go win a playoff game. The problem for this Bears-Texans comparison, while DeMeco wasn't unknown, there weren't any like negative issues with him. There were no scars. Matt Eberflus has all of the negativity surrounding him and scars. So we know he's, I don't know if he's proven it, but he's shown to be not a winning coach. He is 10-24 of his first 2 years.
Yeah.
So we didn't have that with DeMeco, and we could pretend like we knew what was going to happen. And it turns out if you had positive thoughts about what DeMeco is going to be, you're right. The Matt Eberflus thing, he feels like a guy where 2 years in, Caleb Williams is probably having a new head coach. It just feels like that.
Coach killer, Caleb Williams? You're calling it already?
No, the issue of coach killers, which I've dropped on Justin Herbert, was I didn't kill him for getting Anthony Lynn fired because Anthony Lynn had already had a previous run where it wasn't good. That's why they were in a position to draft Justin Herbert. But then when he got the next coach fired, that's when you get coach killer. So if Caleb Williams, if Eberflus, who's already had a track record of not winning, doesn't win with Caleb Williams and he gets fired in year one or whatever, fine. That's not really Caleb Williams' fault. The next coach comes in, mm-hmm, and he gets fired again. All right, then we got an issue here.
Two coaches fired.
In four seasons makes you a coach killer.
Okay, I was going to say on your rookie deal.
Yeah, if you're on your rookie deal and two coaches get fired, you can be classified as a coach killer.
Okay. No, Lawrence isn't there yet.
Yeah, I mean, the Tua thing.
Somehow Lawrence didn't do it.
Yeah, the Tua thing is odd because the coach who was fired got partly fired because he didn't want to play him. But if you want to hang Brian Flores on him, that's fine. Although the Dolphins were like, oh, he's a bad communicator. Shout out to Joe Espada. That's why they kind of got rid of Brian Flores. But Tua's now going into year five, mm-hmm, and his second coach remains. So And if he gets off his rookie deal, which could happen in this offseason, he wouldn't fall into that category. Justin Herbert pretty much right now is the leader in the clubhouse. Trevor Lawrence, you better watch it. If you don't win this year and Doug Peterson gets fired, you wind up on the coach killer list too.
Yeah, now I'm thinking, was Kyler on his rookie deal when
Cliff got fired?
When Cliff got fired. I don't know.
No, because Cliff got fired last season in 2020, not last season, 2022. He got fired,
yeah,
in 2022.
Okay. That's his only coach.
Cliff was around when they had him. Hey, we're going to put this proviso in the contract. You got to study. You got to make sure you study. Hit your hours this week. I think Cliff was still around. So Kyler's right in the middle. Because I think Cliff got fired a couple months after Kyler signed this big deal.
Yeah, now I'm just going to spend the entire next break just trying to think of Coach Keller quarterbacks. It's hard.
It is hard because if you're good enough that you can hang around, that you could get two coaches fired, actually the point is you're not good enough. Because if you get the one fired, then they move on, they go find another a player. But the hype and, you know, the production, particularly his first 2 years under Justin Herbert, would mean you're not going to get off of him. It just has happened that they have not won, and the blame has fallen on the head coaches, not the most important player on the team.
You basically need to get a coach fired your rookie year.
That's kind of how it has to happen, because if you are getting a coach fired in year two of you playing, then it's more about you than it is the coach. And you are on the clock more than the next coach will be, because the next coach will be, hell, go get me my guy. I'm not responsible for him. So Herbert at the top. Lawrence is probably next if someone's going to fall under my my terms of Coach Killer. And we'll see what happens.
I think Daniel Jones is a Coach Killer.
Is he?
I think he is. Pat Shurmur coached him his rookie year. And then Joe Judge.
Ooh.
They hired Brian Daboll, and then he got his deal.
But the problem with Coach Killer is there has to be a belief that the player is good enough that it's the coach's problem. That's why they're getting fired.
He got a new deal. $40 million.
Well, and look how the Giants being stupid is really screwing with my my metrics here. Everyone knew they shouldn't have done that, and they still did it. No one was saying, unless you are a tried and true Justin Herbert hater, no one was saying, don't give him his money. Everyone was telling them, hey, you know, it's not a good idea. And they knew it wasn't a good idea, because that deal is not a typical franchise quarterback type deal. It's a lot of money, but it's only for like 2 years. No one was saying, give him his money. Why are you not giving him his money? It wasn't like Lamar. You know, everyone, for whatever reason, not like Lamar is going to give you any of the cash. Everyone was saying, give Lamar his money. No one was saying that about Daniel Jones.
And coming up on the watch list that I had, the Coach Killer watch list.
Okay.
Bryce Young.
Mm-hmm.
Watch out.
See.
Name to watch for. To look for.
Bryce Young hasn't been good enough yet, though. The problem is you have to put up numbers and not win, and then they decide the coach is the problem and not you. Bryce Young, he hasn't been good enough yet. I get what you're saying.
Will Levis.
Stop it. Now you're just sullying the list, throwing Will Levis on there.
Hey, he got his.
We're gonna keep. We're gonna make that a thing. We gotta add. It's not a list if there's only one guy.
Yeah, send in your coach killers.
Coach killers, and you know the criteria.
Yes, two coaches fired on your rookie deal,
and you have to have been good enough where people thought
where you got a second one.
Where you got to a second coach, and everyone was blaming the first coach, and now people are like, you know what? Maybe it's not the second coach's fault. Maybe it's the player's fault. This is what we're looking for. We're way late. My attempts to keep us on the clock failing miserably in this segment. We will get to some college football stuff because some announcements are made about games, where the big morning shows are going to be. We'll talk about that when we come back.
ESPN 97.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios is the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now back to Del Olalea.
Welcome back. Before we went to break, I mentioned wanting to get to some college football news. And it is news. We're actually getting game times and where Big Noon Kickoff is going to be and where College Game Day is going to be. And the College Game Day one is surprising, considering the other games on that day. Where they're actually going to be, they would have to explain it to me. I don't know the thought process behind that, and we'll get to that in a moment. But, Sean, we have some breaking news. What is it?
Rudy Gobert popped $75,000 for doing the Cash Money, Money Manziel sign, really kind of to himself during game four.
But, of course, the cameras caught him because you're a seven-foot Frenchman walking on the court. Someone's going to see you.
Game four of a second-round playoff game.
There's a camera for everything. They're certainly going to catch you walking away doing it. So he gets hit with the $75,000 fine. He was hit with $100,000 in the regular season. And we've surmised that the NBA was like, look, we get that in the postseason, everything matters a little bit more. You're a little upset. Everyone's running hot. We're going to shoot you a little bail. There's no reason you should be that upset in February. That's why there's a $25,000 difference. What are you so upset about in the month of February?
I think it's the same reason that Jamal Murray only got $10,000 and not suspended.
$100,000.
Or $100,000 and not suspended.
For his three actions.
To me, that's $10,000. But that's why he only got $100,000 for throwing stuff onto the court.
Yeah, if you
It's the playoffs, hey, we get it. It's a different – we're judging by – it takes more to get suspended from one playoff game.
We have playoff fouls and we have playoff fines.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. And like five playoff – or five regular season games. I mean, Pat Bev gets four regular season games for
throwing a ball – two balls at fans, yeah.
Yes, and then you throw two things at an official.
Plus do the money sign. $100,000.
Come on. This is playoff basketball.
We understand. We're not and punks.
Honestly, NBA gave us a great series by not suspending Jamal Murray.
We should actually be thanking them.
And they gave us a good series.
Yes. Now we got a series, and game five is coming up here.
They're like, hey, we're negotiating a new TV deal. We can't have a sweep. We can't have the NBA champs get swept.
Yeah, we gave NBC a 30-day grace period. We can't allow them out of the deal. We don't want them to back out.
Yeah.
So we got to give them what they want. And at least in the Western Conference, they're going to get it. And the East, at least the Knicks-Pacers series is going to be a long one. Just don't know how much people are going to care when the Knicks are a mass unit and the Pacers are the Pacers.
No, America loves watching Precious Achiuwa play 38 minutes.
Hey, Alec Burks. You want 30?
Yeah, people are begging for Alec Burks to play. Just think about that. That's how hurt they are.
The biggest shot made in the series so far is one made by Andrew Nimhardt. That's the level that we're at right now. Andrew Nimhardt has the biggest shot in the series.
Hey, listen. Playoff basketball, baby.
How many people would know what he looks like? How many people would just confuse him with Ben Shepherd? I don't know. Whatever. Same guy. We don't know. I'm sure he's.
What number does he wear?
Exactly. Exactly. Got to look at the name on the back of the jersey. So that's out there. Rudy Gobert gets hit with a big fine. He'll be okay. I mean, he's got a couple multi-million dollar.
He's got bigger issues right now.
Yeah, guarding Jokic. He's fine. Rudy Gobert's signed a couple contracts for a lot of money. No one's worried about him in that regard. Can he defend Jokic? And will he escape the slander of they were better off without you in game two? And if you look at the numbers, because, you know, the nerds got into it defending Gobert, they're like a plus 15.9 with him on the floor and a minus with him off of it. So even in the series, despite what we saw in game two and what we've seen in games three and four, so they are better with him. It just doesn't feel like it after what they did to Denver in Denver without him. So, before we go, I did want to mention these things that I started the segment with. We've got times and announcements for some of the big games of the early part of the college football season. And I mentioned game day going to a location I don't really get, particularly because of what other options they had on the table. It's College Station. It's Notre Dame versus A&M. That's game day's first trip of the year. And look, maybe you don't think much of Clemson, but they're going to play Georgia in Atlanta. That felt like a natural place for them to go. It is the start of them. Look, they've always had SEC games, but now they're going to have the 2:30 SEC game, which belonged to CBS. So the networks that make up ESPN are really going to push the SEC as if they haven't been doing it already. But now they have a tremendous vested interest in making that happen. So I would just assume there's an SEC opponent available. A lot of people think that's the best team in the country. Why wouldn't you want to be in Atlanta for that game? Another option, a lesser option, would have been Florida versus Miami, which is the 2:30 game, which is now we knew on CBS that was a prime slot for their SEC broadcast. What did ESPN do? They put Miami and an SEC opponent, Florida, in that spot. Why wouldn't you go to Gainesville to start your coverage, your in-depth, over-the-top, going to annoy everyone coverage of the SEC? Why wouldn't you do it there? But instead, they picked another SEC team hosting Notre Dame. And I guess...
I think it's Notre Dame.
You say you get the Notre Dame eyes, you get the Notre Dame attention, you get Notre Dame traveling to an SEC team, an opponent. What's the last time Notre Dame's been to an SEC? When they played Georgia? They did a home and home with Georgia, I think. Was that the last time they played an SEC
probably
opponent?
Like 2016-ish.
So that's probably what it is. It's rare you're going to get Notre Dame going to an SEC opponent. It's a big deal for the Aggies to host A&M. It's a big deal for Notre Dame to travel to Texas. So I get it, I guess, but...
And if they want to annoy people with their SEC coverage.
You want to be doubly annoying? Throw Notre Dame in there to piss everyone off. If that's the goal, they've reached it.
Mission accomplished.
Yeah, giving us Notre Dame versus A&M in College Station. They haven't been to College Station since, I believe, 2018.
Oh.
I think it's 2018.
You mean the SEC?
Game Day.
Oh, Game Day.
I think I saw where
I thought you were saying Notre Dame.
Yeah, they haven't. Game Day hasn't been a College Station since 2018. I'm trying to think why they would have gone there in 2018.
Jimbo Fisher.
Was that his first? It was his first year?
Or
was
probably an Alabama game.
Possibly. That sounds about right. But they'll be there. Some of the big noon kickoff games. Texas going to Michigan. That'll be September 7th. So the Longhorns, and that'll be an early season test. Sean thinks that maybe that'll be the rise of one Manning.
I'm just saying something to watch.
Possibly. You got Alabama going to Wisconsin the following week.
Texas A&M hosted number 2 Clemson in 2018.
I remember that. It was
Trevor Lawrence in the rain.
He was a freshman. He split time with what's the quarterback?
Kelly Bryant.
There it is. Trevor Lawrence came in. Oh, they're like, "Oh, T. Higgins is pretty good." T. Higgins is mossing A&M corners. Oh yeah, T. Higgins is really, really good. And we saw T. Higgins do that against A&M. So, and Michigan and Ohio State, obviously, that's one of the other big noon kickoff games. So, that's the three they have announced. Alabama at Wisconsin, September 14th. Texas at Michigan, September 7th. And Michigan at Ohio State. So, the SEC traveling to Big Ten country, big for big noon kickoff. Look, hey, you guys may own the SEC, ABC, ESPN, and your family of networks. But when you guys come to our neck of the woods, we're going to take those games and make it a big deal. I wonder how many games, because it happened a couple times last year. I think one of them was a Colorado game where both major shows will be at the same spot. I can't believe Colorado got that done. Not logistically that they could get it done, but Deion had garnered enough. Well, I mean, I'm not going to knock.
Just the campus, or the area around their football stadium. I can't imagine there's that much room because they don't pack it out that often.
They found a way. But the fact that Deion could garner, or Coach Prime, excuse me.
Thank you.
Could garner enough attention to get both morning shows to the same spot at the same time. And, for the first 4 or 5 weeks of the year, it was one of the great shows in college football. And then we realized, oh, yeah, we got the rest of the season to watch, and this team stinks.
Yeah, and now we're getting into the conference play. We're like, oh, no, good teams are playing good teams now. We're kind of done with this.
Yes. We'll celebrate you playing Colorado State because what else are we going to do? But then you had to go to travel to Oregon, and things got ugly, and they got uglier as the season went on. So that's some of the college football news out there. And, of course, as that stuff continues to trickle in, this show we'll talk about it. And then the actual Longhorn Keith can call in as opposed to the one who called in earlier about Sasha Gray, of all people. You know what I should do? When real Longhorn Keith calls in, hey, you ever heard of Sasha Gray? And see what he says. I think that conversation would take a left turn pretty quickly. We will come back and talk more about the Astros. We'll hear from Alex Bregman again. We heard from him earlier. He discussed not really being motivated by being dropped in the order. He had other things to say as swaggering Alex Bregman is back after, you know, one really good game, but the cream has risen to the top. If you listen to him, we'll hear from him when we come back.
ESPN 97.5.
You're back inside the Veritex Community Bank Studios with Del Olalea. I mean, you're not actually in the studio, but if you watch ESPN Houston's YouTube channel, it's kind of like you are. No, not really. Okay.
Alex Bregman last night had a good night. His best night of the year. A couple home runs, and then late drove in a couple more to put the finishing touches on last night's victory over the A's. And you could tell he was feeling pretty good. He mentioned the cream rising to the top, said, no, I didn't get any extra motivation being dropped in the order. Just know that over 162, I'm going to be that guy. He didn't say it, but you could sense it. The cream rising to the top thing led me to believe that Alex Bregman believes that when it comes down to it, I'm going to be right back up in that order, right where I should be, and this is just a temporary speed bump. He was asked about the stretch of games coming up here. It's been pointed to as if the Astros are going to make a run, it should start here. This stretch of home games, you got the A's in town, a team you feel like you should be certainly more talented than. I mean, the season so far, the A's have been better, but not to be back of the baseball card guy. The resume tells you the Astros, more talented, better baseball team, that should come through when they play. And it did last night. They beat the A's, and they pulled away late. Here's Alex Bregman talking about the stretch of games and how big it is for the team.
It's a huge stretch for us. Obviously, we play a lot of division games, but when I say like the cream always rises to the top, I feel like that's for this team. I feel like this team is the cream of the crop, and it's time to go.
So the cream always rises to the top, and we're the cream of the crop. Is cream the word of the day? Was that the word of the day? Because he in two different bites, he has talked about rising and cream. Is it? I don't know if he has one of those calendars, or did Joe Espada have a speech about rising to the top? Where did that come from?
I don't think that he has, or he might have a calendar of the day or word of the day calendar. I seriously doubt the word of the day was cream.
But why is this stuck in his head?
It must have been some sort of. I don't know if it was Espada or if it was. One of the do they have a players only meeting and not tell us? Because that is theoretically possible.
I hope so.
Have a players only meeting and not tell people.
I hope so. Don't let us know. Why do those things come out? In fact, I'm sure there are a lot of players only meetings that we don't hear anything about. Can that be a consistent thing? I don't care. Is that supposed to tell us you're now serious about things? That you have kicked out the manager and any other coaches because we have to have a talk amongst ourselves to prove that we're serious about this thing. Keep those to yourself. I don't need that being leaked. It means next to nothing to me.
There's like 12 guys on this team that's won a World Series. Like,
yeah.
We don't need to do all that.
Yeah, it's not necessary. So we don't know what brought upon this apparent word of the day type of actions by Alex Bregman. But as long as you hit the baseball, I don't care. If you got to say daily affirmations.
Say whatever you want.
Say whatever you want. Just hit the baseball, and that's what he did last night. But if you missed the previous sounder, Alex Bregman thinks things are going to turn around for him pretty quickly, and you're all going to have to apologize for anything you threw his way. He didn't say it. I'm certainly reading into it, but he felt a little like the swaggering Alex Bregman
we've heard before. That talk.
He was talking. Don't know. Motivated by dropping in the order. What? Nah. Not me. Not me. Just wait on it. Just wait on me.
Honestly, though, was he motivated by getting dropped in the order? I don't think he was. I kind of believe him because he did play like five games where he didn't play well until he finally played well after getting dropped in the order.
I think he had a good night.
I think, yeah.
That's all that happened. He had a good night. He drove the baseball, hit the ball out of the ballpark. I think it's more likely the absence of Todd Callis calling the game had a bigger effect than dropping in the lineup. I mean, that's the
– he was thinking, say goodbye to that baseball, y'all.
If you missed
it. As he was walking around the base.
If you missed it, Julia Morales was the play-by-play person last night for the Astros. She switched places with Todd Callis. I don't buy into that theory either. I just think that's a more likely scenario than, oh, I got motivated by dropping in the lineup.
A week after it happened.
Yeah. Ignore the fact that I stunk for five straight days. And then I had a big night against an A's team that no one thought was going to be any good anyway.
But nope, motivation.
Yes.
I took that personally.
And eventually it clicked with me 5 days later. Espada talked about him before the game, saying he's hitting the ball hard. He just hasn't found spots, or at least the ball hasn't found spots to drop in. So he was hoping that Bregman would have a night like last night, and it happened. And all we have to hope for is that he stacks those nights back to back to back, and then we're talking about an Alex Bregman who's out of a slump as opposed to just having a good night against a mediocre baseball team. Eric, before we go to break, we're going to get to Eric. What's up, Eric?
Hey, guys. Did you see the new Dodgers City Connect jerseys? Don't they look like the Space Cowboys jerseys? And also, that last hit Breggy hit. Come on, the right fielder could have caught that. I'll hang up and listen.
I thought that one was going to be caught, but I'm not going to ruin Alex Bregman's moment and go, hey, you know what? That one doesn't count. It counts. If we're talking about balls he hit that they hit hard enough that they shouldn't have been caught and they just happened to fly right at a guy, we'll take one where you think the outfielder should have made a play on it. It's fine. We'll take them. It led to a win. Alex Bregman doesn't need you raining on his parade.
Yeah.
Just so you know.
That was a little bit disrespectful.
You're trying to rain so the cream doesn't rise to the top is what you're doing.
Let the apologies be as loud as the disrespect.
That's what he said in that presser. Yeah. That's what he said in that post game. When I'm back to who I'm supposed to be, yeah. I want to hear all of you tell me how wrong you were about how bad I was to start.
All you Astros fan Twitter accounts. I want an apology.
Look, first Todd Callis saying, keep that same energy. Don't jump back on if you jumped off. And now Alex Bregman. The cream rises to the top, over 162. Do you think Bregman had Sasha Gray on the brain? No. No.
Maybe.
Do you think that's one of his...
It's not always on the top.
Is Bregman 30? Oh, okay. You're worse. I think you might be the worst person on the station for stuff like this. Now, I mean, I work with you guys, particularly one that is the top of the list. Like Justin Herbert's at the top of the coach killer list. Granado's been at the top of, he's just said something inappropriate. Let's move on. You're gaining. You're the Trevor Lawrence on the list.
Thank you.
You're picking. Okay. If you want to take credit for that, if you think that's a compliment, sure. Okay, fine. I don't know if his wife gave him a pregame talk and she said cream in it, and that's now why he's saying stuff like that. I don't know where that word came from. It's probably just that front of the mind, and maybe that's the approach he's going. Like, look, I'm great, and at some point over this long season, I'm gonna show myself to be great again. And this is the particular phrase he's used to express that, and that's all you can ask for, to keep that confidence. And if we're going to have nights like we had last night, you can be as confident as you want. We got one more segment to go before we wrap up the show. But before I do that, I want to tell you about my bookie. If you want to bet on Alex Bregman tonight, maybe there's a prop on how many RBIs he's going to have. Maybe you think he's coming up on a hot streak. You can go to my bookie for that. You can also bet on the games. If you like the Astros tonight with Ronel Blanco on the mound, you can do that as well. They've got a sports book that live streams, and it gives you everything you need. If you want to cash out, maybe you've made enough money. And really, that's not really a thing. You know, you just want to let it ride. And MyBookie has that for you as well. So more than just a sports book, they've got you set up for the buzzer beaters, for the NBA playoffs, underdog upsets, and it's a community too. You're not alone in there. You can hang out and enjoy all the things that MyBookie has to offer. Remember the promo code. It's BET975. When you make your first deposit, you get a bonus with your deposit. Just use that promo code BET975. It's for a limited time, but also if you are a returning customer, use the promo code, and MyBookie has a reload bonus as well. As I mentioned, the playoffs are heating up. It's the perfect time to go to MyBookie to either restart your account or open up a new one. Remember, you bet anything, anytime, anywhere, only with MyBookie.
ESPN
97.5.
Please stand by.
The Del Olalea Show continues
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's your host, Del Olalea.
One thing we did not get to, and I understand why we didn't, it's the NBA Scouting Combine, and I don't find it that interesting. Guys, I don't find the regular combine, put that in quotes, the NFL Combine that interesting. You get measurements, you figure out how fast guys run and how high they jump, so be it. But this, the buzz and apparent Rockets fan infatuation with Reed Sheppard, it's not bothering me, but I don't really understand it. If you had the eighth or ninth pick, maybe if Brooklyn hadn't jumped up to three, I would get it. That's kind of one of the spots he figures to go in, that the lower half of the top 10. If you wanted a movement shooter because your team lacks shooting, I get it. He is a small combo guard who can jump 42 on the vertical. But is that a guy you're infatuated with as a third pick overall? You want Gen Z Rex Chapman? Is that what you want? Is that what you want at three? I don't need to explain all the comparisons. He played at Kentucky and so on. He shoots the basketball. All this. And Rex could jump too.
Looks like he was a fan favorite.
Yeah. Sure.
He looks like he would be a fan.
That's Sean Mapes, by the way, not me.
I don't know, I'll say.
Yeah, Sean A. Mapes saying that.
I know how they operate.
Who is they? The fan base or the Kentucky fan base or the Houston fan base?
I think kind of all basketball fan bases.
All basketball fan bases. But when did we decide that undersized combo guards are what you're looking for at the number three pick?
But he can shoot.
I understand there's a desperation to shoot the basketball or get guys who can shoot the basketball for this team. There's a lack of shooting. But I'm not using the number three pick on it.
No?
What? No.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, I'm just kind of philosophically against drafting for, like, intense need.
Yeah. When you're a role player to play a role at the number three overall pick?
Not just like that, but also I just take a swing and hope you get a star. Just that's what this should be about, is just trying to get the biggest number. That's someone who can maybe get a take you from being a 43 win team to a 45 win team because of the shooting he provides. Like, no, just win. Just get a star player who can maybe be like the Giannis of your group.
I don't want to keep comparing him to white players, but let's say Dante DiVincenzo was a great college player. Would you take Dante, even the version we're seeing with the Knicks, the shooting he's putting on, are you taking him at three in the draft?
I might trade the number three pick for Dante DiVincenzo.
This is what,
like actual Dante DiVincenzo.
If you're talking about shooting, don't take Reed Sheppard. See if you can get the Knicks to give up Dante DiVincenzo.
Because guess what? He's a guy who's already proven that he can play in the playoffs and play and perform well, where a guy that is 19, 20 years old, overwhelmingly, the odds are he will not be the lights will be too bright for him.
Yeah, what do we think he's going to top out at? That this is even a consideration.
Look, Luke Kennard.
Ooh,
no, I just wanted to throw someone out there.
We're not taking Luke Kennard at three. Look, this is not the consensus opinion of Reed Sheppard that he's going to be a top five pick in the draft. But I've just seen a lot of Rockets accounts going, you know what?
I've already seen the photoshops.
Give me Reed Sheppard.
I've already seen the photoshops, and let me just say, let's chill out.
Have some shame.
What are we doing?
Some standards.
This team was 41-41 and looks to be on the right track to possibly make the playoffs next year.
And to be honest,
we don't need to be photoshopping the third best player on Kentucky.
And to be it's not even Rob Dillingham. What are you doing? And the other thing is, how real is the 41-41? We know that Rafael Stone said they tricked off and probably should have won 46. But a giant part of their run consisted of without their best player. It happened without Şengün. So how real is that 41-41? I don't know. It was a great showing by the guys who were still available. But then you'll have to incorporate Şengün and Tari Eason. I would just tell Rocket fans, if Reed Sheppard is who you're infatuated with, relax. Pray that this team uses that pick in a more substantial way than drafting a player who wouldn't even start for you next year.
Yes, or if you want, you should be rooting for them to trade the pick for a star.
Yes, as part of a package that acquires a star.
Your second rooting interest should not be for, look how he fits into the rotation, because chances are he's not going to be ready for the rotation. Cam Whitmore.
Is he going to play ahead of Cam Whitmore?
Cam Whitmore started last season on a worse Rockets team. He started the season in the G League.
And
he's Cam freaking Whitmore. And all the tweets. What he did when he got up there.
All the tweets I saw was, I can't believe so many people passed on Cam Whitmore because of his attitude. Oh, that's what I saw. And then when you saw Cam Whitmore go out there, you thought you had a steal. Is he a better player than Cam Whitmore? Probably not. So we're talking about best the third shooting guard, and is Ime gonna play the third shooting guard a lot of minutes when he has so many interchangeable parts? And that's if they don't consolidate and trade a couple guys to get a star, which you would think the number three overall pick would be part of that. I can't believe it. I saw yesterday.
I will say
what I saw yesterday. I couldn't believe it.
I will say there's a chance that they do trade for a star, but not the number three pick.
That's
just
true.
Because of how much teams hate this draft.
That's true.
They're like, you know what? We'd rather just take a random Brooklyn pick.
And a future first rounder and go that route.
Rather have this, let's just say this random Brooklyn pick in the future is going to be the seventh pick. We'd rather have the seventh pick in a different draft than the third one in this one.
Yeah, because you know what? Those other teams don't want Reed Sheppard either. It didn't take me.
What about Donovan Clingan?
I'm not saying I was surprised by it, but because hey, oh look, he can jump and he can shoot a little bit. He can shoot. He's a good shooter. He's more than a little bit. But I would say, set your standards higher than drafting a role player.
Have some self respect
at three. Don't do graphics for Reed Sheppard.
Yeah, let's do the photoshops of all the stars first before we go with Rob Dillingham and. Reed Sheppard.
Get through Donovan Mitchell. Convince yourself that the Heat thing is going to go poorly and Jimmy Butler can be here. Do all the things. Maybe LeBron has changed his thoughts on the city of Houston. Do all those things first before you get to Reed Sheppard. You're wasting your time. I'm wasting Gallant and George's time. I'm done. They're next. I'll talk to you tomorrow.
ESPN 97.5. Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.